This is Israel is real, and we would like to interview you about our good friends, family of Gavish family. And it's not almost, it's 8 years from the time that this tragedy took place. Can you please bring us to this horrible scene?
I'm sorry, I'm hardly hearing anything.
I'm asking if you can tell us what's happened in
Yes,
this
Eto.
horrible time
Please,
then.
Sonia. Okay, it was okay. It was in the midst of the Second Intifada, which was quite a very violent intifada, and it was after the layer set up on the first Passover day. That was at night, and it was quite. And we just finished the first Passover holiday, the first day, holiday day, and. We have been attacked by a terrorist who penetrate in the in Elon Moré and start shooting especially and reached the Gavish home and entered in the Gavish home and shoot everywhere. So the result was quite horrible for horrible. It was the slaughtering of the grandfather, his daughter Rachel, his son-in-law David, and the elder boy, the kid Abraham, who at this time was also a high-ranked officer in the. In the most, let's say, most prestigious elite unit in Israel, Sayeret Matkal.
Yes. And what's your relationship with the Gavish family?
Oh, okay. The relationship is quite long. It started from this time. It started 38 years ago when Rachel, my wife, and Rachel Gavish started to be very close friends, very, very, very close friends at the school and after school time, and where we were always together, the two families. We lived together in several places, starting from Evo Horon and then. Afterwards, in Kdumim and in the Elon Moré, different places in Judah and Samaria.
Okay. And after this tragedy took place, how your family start being involved with the Gavish kids?
It was quite natural that at this time we had now to act, let's say, as a bit as a kind of additional component in the family. So we together with the kids that remained alive, we moved from Elon Moré because it was impossible to stay there. It was traumatic to stay there, to stay in this home that has been has witnessed all the tragedy. So, and we moved to Kdumim together, and from this time until now, we are, let's say, living in certain kind of osmosis together, and very close with the kids and the kids and the during this this those last 8 years. The kid, most of the kids married already, and they have already kids, and but we are implied as let's say as uncle and aunt, something like that.
Yes, you know, the I want to make sure that our listeners understand that it is about a terrorist attack, and this attack took place in their own home.
Yes, that penetrated inside their own home. Yes,
exactly. And this is the type of the tragedies that in Israel, unfortunately, are taking place, and it's shocking and it's disturbing. And it's destroying sometimes lives.
Yes, but from the other hand, it's also strengthening our feelings are melt, and the people morale is very high. So from one side, we are attacked, and we are always under attack. From the other side, we are very optimistic, and we are very, strong together.
Right.
Yaakov, shalom. My name is Rachel. Shalom. We haven't met yet on this interview. I'm one of the co-hosts of Israel is Real, and I also lived in Israel for a very long time, so I'm also Israeli.
Yes.
What I wanted to say is that, you know, of 22 years that I lived in Israel, there was one, always a terrorist attack, always something, an incident. And the victims, Zichronam Levracha, but the remaining survivors, the families, have never come out with negativity against those perpetrators.
I'm not catching you.
The what I want to say is that the families of the victims, the remaining survivors, were always, in some ironic way, or some odd turn twist of events, always more positive that there should be a greater push for peace, that we should not hate those who have done these terrible, tragic things to us. That is all that I've ever heard, is that there should be good that comes from it. Can you confirm that? Can you tell us, you know, how does that feeling come out of a tragedy? Rather than hatred, it turns into love.
See, as a matter of fact, tragedies are different, and the reaction to tragedies are also different. The victims are reacting differently, but I would say that according to what I saw already, what I collected from my lifetime in this unfortunate area, is that people mostly strengthening the environment. Not only that morning they had their grief, and they are broken, and they have a lot of problems, and they have a lot of traumas. But from the other side, they have also they are expressing a lot of strengths, and they are also encouraging a lot the environment, the neighborhood, and the environment. So it's quite paradoxical, but I've seen that many times, especially now. Just now, 2 days ago, we had a tragedy with Eliraz Peretz from Seret Golani, the second son of a mother.
Same thing.
That today, she is really for me. She's a fantastic example to we have to learn every word she says. She's really, really breathing. She's really putting a lot of optimism, in our message today, a few days after burying her second son. And even though she is very confident in the Jewish identity, and moreover in the Jewish tzidkat derech, in the Jewish rights,
right,
on Eretz Yisrael, and to live as a Jewish state in Eretz Yisrael. So it's quite. We have the both sides. We have the side of the tragedy, the personal tragedy, and the personal tragedy is there, always there, and we can't minimize the immensity of the tragedy but from the other side there is some kind of many times the tragedies unfortunately provide us a lot of courage, a lot of strength, and allows us to keep running let's say our people mission.
Right. I wanted to comment that you mentioned it's a personal tragedy, but yet in Israel, when we're there, we feel this is our children. We feel this has happened to us, to each and every one of us, and each and every one of us comes out in support. So Israel offers a wonderful support and community and unity for people, whether they be Jewish or not Jewish. I think we would come out in support for anyone who had to suffer such a tragedy. So,
as a matter of fact, that's absolutely right. The Jewish identity and the Jewish vision is universal anyway, and the Jewish mandate in this world is totally universal and is related to everyone. But that's absolutely right. But we have also that the just in order to keep our mindset, to keep running our willing to realize the Jewish vision. I would say more than not the Jewish, but the Israeli vision, because we are before being Jewish people, we are Israel people, people of Israel. We have to get this kind of encouragement from just sometimes, and paradoxically, we have to get the encouragement from people that have been victims of such tragedies, and that's I have to say that's very paradoxical. But I can tell you today there was this interview with the Peres family, and I heard exactly the same words that I heard most of the same words I heard with the Gavish family as well.
And what a family was Gavish, and what a family it was, this Gavish family.
I can tell you a bit about Gavish family.
Absolutely, Gavish family. Absolutely.
Yeah. Gavish family was a unique example in Samary, in the Shomron. In summary, and we started together. It was in 77 when we started the Ityashvut
in the community.
In summary,
the community.
Yeah, in summer. It was the first issues.
The
not
first
settlement, right. But issues. Settlement is a very synthetic word.
Right. I say I community.
I can't use it really to describe. To describe a village, to describe a town, to describe a city.
A community. A community is the best, I think.
Yeah. And then David and Rachel, they left any kind of comfort to run to a very, very small, very reduced kind of what you are calling caravan, which is really a... something around 25 square meters,
mm-hmm.
and with small kids, and they were, and during several years they were confined in this small environment, and in terms of a very, very reduced quality of life materially, from the material side. Very reduced quality of life, but from the spiritual side, always they were very, very, very rich and very optimistic, and that's the kind of spirit they had. Very strong spirit that developed that also influence and develop the spirit of the issue itself, of the Kedumim. And then after 2 years, they relocated to a new issue, which was very close to Shechem. Shechem is called in the antique European books as Naplus. Neapolis, but the Hebrew name for Neapolis is Shechem,
right.
as it is written in the Bible, and it's Elon Moré. Elon Moré is also cited in the Bible, is mentioned in the Bible, in Genesis, as the first heart of Abraham in Eretz Israel, and they. And they started also to be very instrumental and not only in the material side, but especially in the spiritual side of things. They worked together very hard for that. And then David was a Rav in the yeshiva, and took care of a lot of classes and kids, and it was very, very invested all his time and all his effort and all his knowledge in this yeshiva. And Rachel was a special person, was very, very, in terms of spiritually, very rich person, with a lot of capabilities, not only in the educational area that she was practicing, but also in literature, she was very special, very, very, very intellectual and very spiritual person.
Rachel, Zichrona Levracha, I worked with her for 2 years, yeah. And we made a friendship for a lifetime. And then she left the school that I used to work, and your wife, שתיבדל לחיים ארוכים, Rachel, came, and it was so funny to speak about Rachel Gavish, and suddenly to hear from Rachel Cohen saying she's my best friend, and she was a special person. It was not that we are speaking about people which are not around us, that they are special. But Rachel Gavish was with a very certain intelligence of how to speak with the people, with the kids, with the teachers. She was absolutely a great educator.
Absolutely, yeah. It was mentioned by everyone, by kids, by adults, by anyone, the ability to hear and to understand, to contain the problems and the personal problems of each one.
Right. With a lot of humor, a very nice humor. You know, with a great smile on her face, she was great. She was great. And I cannot forget how I find out what's going on in Elon Moren 2002. I waked up in the morning, and when I look up in the internet, I couldn't believe to my eyes when I saw that in Gavish family, it's a terrorist attack. I was like shocked. And I remember my husband saying to me, well, maybe it's another Gavish family. And I said, no way. In Elon Moret, it's only one.
Yes, and for Elon Moret, there were extremely pivotal. They were the pivots.
Right. The idea of this show is actually to show the different faces that Israel have, and we are showing what is new in Israel, the good news of Israel, history. And I said to Rachel, my co-host, that I cannot forget you guys and the Gavish family.
Yeah. By the way, I have to add that the Gavish family today, after this tragedy, several of the Gavish sons reached the duty time at the army, and each one of them chose to be in an elite unit.
Right. I know, because this was the way and this was the education. And like I said, it was a great education. Can you please make a fast description for our listener? How does this family deal with living in everyday lives after such a great tragedy, and how they cope? How do they, or do they really ever heal from this?
Do they ever heal from this at all? Is it possible
to heal from
to
this?
Go on?
Okay, to heal from that, to heal from this kind of strategy, this kind of tragedy, is quite difficult. It's I don't know if it's possible, but and they have a lot of traumatic issues, and sometimes they have some hard times, especially during the holidays. They are feeling quite hard especially during the holidays. But in general, they are living very well, and very productive. They are very well integrated in the society. They are very instrumental in their communities. As I mentioned before, all the sons were for Asaf, the small one is elite units. So the army. So they are contributing a lot. They are very positive. They are looking forward, but they have also the special time, especially during the holidays,
this holiday
when the family used to be together, Leila Seder, etc. It's quite hard for them, yeah. It's quite hard, very hard.
And I want our listeners to understand that when terrorists take a life, or a life is taken in any tragic kind of way for political reasons or any other, it's extremely difficult. There is a person here involved. This is why we are speaking to you about the Gavish family and to our listeners, because it's very hard for people to understand that we lose people, we lose family members, we lose generations that will come in our future. We lose a whole world when a tragedy like this happens. And we want to put a face on it. We want to remember Rachel. We want to remember Avraham and the children and
David,
and their families. And
Yitzhak Kanir.
And we want to speak to you, who survives and who can always tell their story. Because it's important to remember that these are human beings, and we live on with this.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you very much, Yaakov. I know that it's difficult, and I want to thank you very much for agreeing to speak with us today, Sonia.
Thank you very much. And
thank you very much.
And best
thank
regards
you,
for the
for
kids.
Me. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you, and best regards for the Gavish family.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.